you know, Western medicine has this hold on us where we think, oh my gosh, I feel stomach acid. I have to get rid of the acid. When in reality, the acid's just sitting there for too long because it's not enough to turn the pH correct so that your food can drop into the small intestine and it's bubbling back up. We need more acid. Very rarely does someone have too much stomach acid. And how they can tell is if someone has a very bright red tongue and they're experiencing heartburn, they might be one of the people that has too much. But let me tell you something. I have never seen somebody like that. It's crazy, always crazy, not rare. Enough stomach acid.
Welcome to the Inspired with Mika Lori podcast. Diana, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you here today.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be a guest.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk about something that I think is super important and something I could probably go on a tangent on, but I will keep that to myself today because you are the expert and I want to learn lots of good stuff from you. But we're going to talk about kind of a natural approach to skincare support. But before we deep dive into that, can you share a little bit about yourself and really what sparked your interest in kind of health and wellness?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Diana Drake and I own a private practice here in Lone Tree, Colorado called DMD Natural Medicine. So I'm a board certified traditional naturopath, but that's not where I started. I actually started out as an esthetician.
Oh, okay. So interesting.
I coined myself holistic. I opened up this cute little holistic spa and I had a couple things on the shelf. You know, for skin, some internal things, I obviously carried everything organic, but I learned really quickly that as I started getting these customers with these bad skin conditions that were really just so tired of being told, I don't know what this is, or the dermatologist would help, or taking things that kind of hurt their skin more, they were coming to me and I realized, oh my gosh, I am not equipped at all to deal with this. Even just having that term holistic on my business, this is what I was getting. And so I became a board certified naturopath. Took me a couple of years, but I got there.
And congratulations. That's phenomenal. There's not enough of you guys. So it's awesome. Yeah.
That's true. Thank you. Thank you. I began specializing in skin and, you know, now I do a lot of things. I go into hormones, I go into gut restoration, all kinds of things, but I would say still about 30% of my practice is focused on inflammatory skin conditions. And in the beginning, when I was learning from my mentors and just experimenting, I had probably 4 different product brands on my shelf, plus all of my topical skincare, right? So I would do a cleanse from one company. Maybe I would add some Ayurvedic medicine. Maybe I would add some, you know, whatever. And I finally said to myself, this is so annoying. There should just be one brand that does all of these things.
Yeah.
And so I created that brand. So my brand is called Skin Naturopathics and it is available for retail, but I prefer to wholesale it to other estheticians and other, you know, natural practitioners because you really need to understand what's going on in the body. You need to go to kind of get the protocol right. But it also is very easy to use in general. It's kind of just like, this is what you do on month one. If you have this, you can kind of customize it, but it's kind of like month to month, step-by-step kits. And so I kind of tried to design it to be really easy, knowing that there are other estheticians that don't have my education level yet, right? That are dealing with these things. And so I wanted them to be able to hopefully help consumers in that space that are stuck with hard to deal with skin conditions.
I love that. I think it's so important. There's such a lack of resources, one, but two, there's just a lack of information around how important it is. I'll get into one of the questions I want to ask, but how important it is to look at a natural internal approach to healthy skin, because so often we look at these topical treatments and you're not really getting to the root cause of the problem, which is ultimately how you fix the issue that you're facing, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the questions I have kind of along that line is, you know, there's a massive skincare industry, but so often we see that they're all chemical-based products, right? They're these topical things that we're putting on our skin. You hear about retinol and, you know, all the different things that people are using for acne and all these, potentially hazardous products. I want to know why you think it's so heavily skewed to that side when we have so much information that shows that we can treat skincare from the inside.
Well, I mean, to just put it blatantly, there's a lot of money in going to the dermatologist and getting something topical. There's also a lot of margin if you are, let's say you're not in the medical space. Let's say you just manufacture skincare. You can make stuff really cheap.
Yeah.
And sell it for a lot of money, you know?
Yes.
And, you know, those chemicals really are just like stabilizers or emulsifiers, things that make it feel nice and make it last long. But really, acne is a toxic condition in the first place. The last thing we want to do is put more toxic things on it. And people don't realize that what you put on your skin goes into your bloodstream.
Absolutely. Yes.
And it's, we already have so much toxic burden coming at us. The air we breathe, don't get me started on the water, all the stuff on our food. It's hard out there already. We don't need to also contribute by putting that stuff on our skin. So that's a really important thing to not do.
Absolutely. So you kind of answered a little bit of my second question for you. So I think most of the listeners know that I can go on a tangent about the toxins we're exposed to on a daily basis. So I wanted to know, what really motivated you to go towards a more natural supplement approach? What really sparked your interest in this holistic approach?
Sure. So, you know, when you are trained as an esthetician and as a dermatologist, probably, they just teach you topical, right? Unless you can prescribe a drug. But even in the drug space, when you're using a biologic, you're not going after the root cause. You're just suppressing the symptom. That is not healing, you guys. That is not healing. So I just really wanted to be an innovator in this field. I wanted to figure out, what are the root causes? How can we make something more simple for practitioners to use?
Yeah.
To help everybody. But, you know, to be completely honest, when I was 23, I lost my mother. She was on.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Thank you. She was on a drug for cholesterol. She was in great shape, but we have cardiovascular issues in our family, and, her cholesterol. So she had a heart attack and then she was on a drug. I also was on that drug because I had high cholesterol at a young age, and she still had a second heart attack and died. That was really my first clue that something was wrong with Western medicine, that there was more to cardiovascular wellness and health than just having the cholesterol down. Okay.
Absolutely.
So as I got myself off the drug, worked with a naturopath, you know, became an esthetician, wanted to be holistic. It really did all stem from that. I guess you could say that was my root cause.
Yeah.
Understanding that there's band-aids and then there's actual healing.
Yes.
And, you know, the downside of the actual healing is it takes more time. We're in this society where we just want to come and take something and feel better. And that's just not how it works. You don't just have acne one day. This takes a long time to develop and gets worse. Some people come to me and they've had acne for 15 years.
Right.
It's not reasonable that I'm going to fix that in 30 or even 60 days.
Yeah.
So, I just got this real passion. I obtained this passion about understanding root causes and wanting to just really turn away from the whole drug thing.
Absolutely. I think, you know, two things to add on to what you said, you know, specifically statins, there is a very specific time and place for statins for a very specific group of people. The rest of the time, there's much better options to heal your cholesterol issues, and really understanding what cholesterol is and how it functions in your body, I think, is key to that specific conversation. But that set aside,
we can do a whole show on that.
I would love to do that with you too. We'll have to reschedule. But yeah, I think, you know, going back to, you know, you mentioned kind of the root cause versus the band-aid. I was just having a conversation with a friend of mine talking about the same kind of thing. I have so many, you know, people kind of in my circle that are struggling with health issues. And, you know, I let them know I'm here for you. I can help you. But, you know, people, if they want to heal themselves, really have to take that step to make that decision to do it. But the response I always get from them is, oh, I just want the pill. I just want the quick fix. And it breaks my heart because the general public doesn't understand you can heal your body and you can feel great and look great and lose the weight and have the beautiful glowing skin if we change kind of those habits and stuff. And so I love that you've approached it that way.
Yeah, that was a hard learn for me as well. The people that you want to help the most that are close to you, that are tangible, that you're hearing things about, you're like, oh, let me, they don't want it.
They don't want it.
I have learned that the people that want what we do, they will seek us out and they will be the most coherent.
Yes.
The most compliant, the ones that really want to do it. And
yeah,
it was hard. All of my mentors told me that. They're like, don't even bother, but you just have to learn it for yourself.
Yeah. But it's now, hard though. It's like emotionally draining because you know you can help these people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So just having, even in, you know, COVID, just having family members of my own, not even asking what my opinion is or what they could do. And
yeah,
it's just, yeah, it's very disheartening for sure.
It is. Absolutely. So with that, talking about kind of these major issues, I wanted to talk a little bit about two or three of like the biggest skin issues we run into. And I know this is going to be kind of a general question because each person is so individual with their needs and stuff, but let's take acne. For instance, can you give us a couple ideas generally of what may be causing acne, why it's arising, and especially for maybe women kind of in their 20s or 30s too, not just the teenage side of things? Sure.
Absolutely. So this is actually an easier question than you think, because awesome. I have determined that regardless of your acne situation or your age, there are three things working against us when we have acne. Okay. Toxic overburden.
Yes.
Your colon's not working. Your lymph is congested. Your liver's congested. Okay. So toxic stuff, right? Then we've got microbiome dysbiosis.
Yes.
Enough of the good stuff. We have too many bad guys. We're constipated. We're dehydrated. All these things, right? Not enough immune stuff going on. And then the hormone piece. And that would include stress, because our adrenals secrete those hormones that are so... So basically, if I see you in person, that's great. I can muscle test what products I want to use, but I could also in my sleep just say, if you want to heal your acne, restore your gut, balance hormones with these herbs, and then let's do a detox. And really, that's fundamentally what you, if you do that on everyone, you can have really good success with acne.
Yeah. I love that you said that. You're speaking my language. So often I just try to get people to understand how the different organs work as a system in the body and how you approach that to heal so many health issues. So I love that you're using that for skincare too.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So we talked about acne a little bit. What about eczema? Are you seeing the same kind of issue, or do you think that's a little bit different?
So I wish I had more eczema clients. My biggest client groupings would be acne, perioral dermatitis, and rosacea. I do see some eczema. So eczema is really just an overburdened immune system.
Yeah.
Too much heat. We have to bring down the heat. We have to deal with the actual inflammation and kind of cool down the itching and the hot, right? So with that, I do use herbs that are very cooling, right? So we have a hot condition of the skin. We give it cooling herbs. We neutralize. And really, you just have to clean out the liver. Anytime something is like seeping out through the skin, not acne, but actually through the skin, it is an overburdened liver. Okay. So people with eczema, we got to cleanse that liver, cleanse, get it all out. And when we're cleansing the liver, we also have to do kidney, lymph, bowels, all of it. You have to flush the whole system.
Yes.
People come to me and they go, oh, I just did a liver cleanse. I'm like, that's funny. So you dumped a dirty liver into a dirty colon.
Yeah.
And didn't do. So you have to cleanse the whole thing from the back door up, I say. And then really the immune, we don't realize how deficient we are in vitamin C, zinc, and D.
I literally just posted on Instagram about that yesterday. So and yeah,
When I put people on an immune protocol, I put them on 10,000 milligrams a day of vitamin C. Everyone thinks, oh, if you take too much C, you get diarrhea. Yes, but you have to take a lot to get to that point. And all that means is you've reached your gut tolerance and you just back it off a little. But most Americans can take 10,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day and be fine.
Yeah.
So I put them on 10,000 milligrams a day of C, 10,000 IUs of D, 200 milligrams of zinc, No, 100 milligrams of zinc. That's kind of my start out, get the immune system up protocol. Then I really clean out the liver and I do cooling herbs. Mm-hmm. And then I have like a natural antihistamine. I have this kit. So it's like two different products that do, it's like one's an antihistamine and one's a cooling.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's a set. So that's what I do to help bring down that inflammation. Eczema is tougher though. That's one of the harder skin conditions.
Yeah. And I think people need to understand it's because the immune system is really attacking the body because there's been so many things going on inside the body.
And it's sad. Now so many babies are born with eczema.
Yeah.
And, you know, people will say, oh, well, my doctor told me that it's actually very common. Well, it might be common, but that doesn't mean it's normal.
Normal. Yes. You
know, babies are born. And this 6 years ago, I heard this, so I'm sure it's way worse now, but I was reading that the umbilical cord blood of a baby has over 350 toxins in it when they're born 6 years ago.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Pesticides, metals, all kind, you know, anything that goes into the mother goes into the baby.
Baby. Yeah.
And so I really tell people if you're going to get pregnant, you need to spend 2 full years detoxing metals. We have to clean out really clean people out well. But so I do see a lot of babies with the eczema too, but I just give them a little hawthorn berry. Mm-hmm. That tends to help.
Clear it up a little bit. What about rosacea as well? You said you get quite a few clients with rosacea.
Rosacea is my favorite because rosacea and perioral dermatitis and acne. It's all my favorite just because the dermatologists are so bad at these things. They just make it so easy for me.
They're going to hand you Accutane or some kind of prescription drug that is pretty intense for your body.
It is. So with rosacea, what Western medicine will typically do is put you on a low dose antibiotic forever. Mm-hmm. And rosacea is already a gut issue. So this is the last thing we want to do. But what I have found is that people with rosacea actually have an infection in their stomach called H. pylori.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have 9 out of 10 times candida in the small intestine.
Mm-hmm.
So how does the stomach get that infection? What happens is over time, when we have a lot of alcohol and high fats and high sugar, and even if you're taking a prescription drug every day, like birth control since you're 16, this all it harms our body's ability to make stomach acid. And so then we don't have the proper immune balance and then things get in and we have infections. So then we have this heat coming up and expressing in the face, but that's why the antibiotics work is because it is an infection in the stomach. But if you're not replenishing the hydrochloric acid levels, you're never going to get the client where they need to be, which is why the antibiotic forever is horrible. So when we have
on top of that, it's also damaging the gut the whole time too.
Terrible. So it's still terrible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yes, gut stuff. We have to do enzymes. We have to do probiotics. We have to get rid of the candida. And then as far as that infection, I don't know if you use like a biocidin or just like colloidal silver. You could use a homeopathic that has an H. pylori nosode in it. There are all kinds of things you could do for the stomach. But the biggest thing is you have to replenish the hydrochloric acid levels.
Yes.
And this is not the most fun thing for the client because I send them home with like 3 bottles of 100 caps each. And they're like, do I really need this? And I say, yes, because you're going to take 1 cap until you get pain, like until you give yourself heartburn, then you go back 1 cap and that's your dose. And they're like, for how long? And I say until, and most people get up to like 10 or 15 and that's how deficient they were in hydrochloric acid. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And I say, let's say you get to 15 before breakfast and you get heartburn. Great. Now for lunch and dinner, you're going to take 14. We'd back it down by 1. And you're going to take that until 14 causes you pain. Then you go down to 13 with every meal until that causes you pain. And on we go until you get to 0. It might take 2 years to get to 0. It might take 6 months. But we have to get that hydrochloric acid level back up and functioning properly. But rosacea is a fun one because it's tough.
I think that understanding our pH balances throughout our body, how they function is really, really key to our health and our digestive system. But understanding how it is in our stomach is really important because I think people so often take the antacids or the Tums when they get the heartburn, and it's literally the complete opposite of what we should be doing. Yeah.
I explain to people this and they're like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense.
Yeah. And, you know, and we need these acids to be able to digest digest our foods, to appropriately get the nutrients out of them, and to kill off the bad bugs that are affecting us. Exactly. And yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, it's so important. That's probably another whole show that we can do.
Yes. You're right. Because it's, you know, Western medicine has this hold on us where we think, oh my gosh, I feel stomach acid, I have to get rid of the acid. When in reality, the acid's just sitting there for too long because it's not enough to turn the pH correct so that your food can drop into the small intestine and it's bubbling back up. We need more acid. Very rarely does someone have too much stomach acid. And how they can tell is if someone has a very bright red tongue and they're experiencing heartburn, they might be one of the people that has too much. But let me tell you something, I have never seen somebody like that. It's
crazy, crazy,
not enough stomach acid.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, there's this idea that we have to mitigate all the pains or, you know, stop everything from happening. And the problem with that is when we put in, when we add in these, you know, the acid reduction pills or the Tums or things like that, that's also messing with our hormones and our communication system. And if we're having heartburn issue, that's usually our body signaling to us that something is wrong, that we should address it.
So yeah. Smart.
Thanks. You too. So continuing on this conversation, I want to know, you know, when you first come to skincare, before we get into the supplements and the herbs and those kind of things, what are the very first things that you would address? What would you really look at?
Okay. Topically speaking, I like to pull out everything that that people are already doing at home. They're on the proactive, they're on the retinol, they're on the antibiotic topical from the dermatologist. Even for anti-aging, I don't like using retinol because I think it thins the skin's barrier.
Yeah.
But, I love it. Like if you have a client ever that says, I can just afford one thing to change my skin with acne, colloidal silver gel. Is the most amazing thing. It's going to, and you can use it on eczema, acne, probably not rosacea because that's more under, but it really is, it's going to balance the microbiome on the face. It's going to eat all the bad junk, but not hurt the good bacteria. And it's not going to dry it out or make it sensitive to the sun or do anything weird, like all that other stuff. So I like to bring in a gel, that's colloidal silver gel for everybody with a skin condition. Obviously, you know, a lot of people come to me and I hate to bash brands, but you know, these brands, they all advertise and they trick people, but you know, the CeraVe or the, you know, it's like the sensitive skin brands that they have no scent and no dye, but they're like literally all toxic chemicals.
Yes.
People, everybody that walks in here is using that.
Yeah.
So I say, okay, we're going to be done with that.
Yes. Thank you. Nice
cleanser. And I'm in Colorado. So everybody here, they use a lot of cleansers that maybe have peroxide in it or really bubbly things. And I always put them on a cream cleanser. I think that we want to keep balance, not strip.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So I always do that. I put them on a nice toner, you know, organic. I put them on the silver gel. I say, you know, make sure you're seeing a facialist so we can get extractions and things like that. And then when the time comes, when we're dealing more with scars than active breakouts, we would move into microdermabrasion. I think light peels are okay, especially if you're younger. But people just don't understand how serious it is that you cannot be in the sun if you're peeling. I mean, I've seen people like out at the pool in Vegas. They're like, oh, I just had a peel yesterday.
It's, I mean, it can be so damaging to the skin permanently, long term too.
Permanently, exactly. And just generally all of those things that the really harsh peels, any sort of really harsh retinol, it's all just thinning and I think damaging over time.
Yeah.
You're better off building. You're better off with vitamin C things and peptide things and I'm not saying, you know, once in a while, yes, a peel or a microderm, but I mean, I never peel my skin or microderm it.
Yeah, I don't either. You know, I think there's a simple rule that you can kind of think about is thinking, did this come from the earth? Is this naturally derived or was this created in a factory? And that's something I talk to a lot of people about when it comes to, you know, products in our skincare and personal care, and also in our food and nutrition that we're eating too. And And a general, I mean, it's not always 100%, but a general rule of thumb is if it comes from the earth, it's likely okay for you in that sense. So when you're thinking about ingredients and products.
And just even teaching people, like I make everybody when they come into me, I'm like, bring me your supplements, bring me your skincare. Mm-hmm. And I say, okay, well, let's take a look at that. Go ahead and turn it around and read to me the ingredients. And they start reading and I go, what do you think about that? And they're like, oh, I never realized. And I'm like, it's like, I don't even have to tell you, you know? So it's just like waking people up to paying attention. You don't have to know what hexyl methyl ethyl 8 is.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, if you look at it, that's probably not great. Now, if people want to be really diligent, which I did this for years, I would look up every ingredient on the EWG Skin Deep website.
Yep.
Yes, there are some additives and emulsifiers that are not, you know, going to be in the yellow and red category, meaning, you know, warning or this is unsafe or cancer causing. Mm-hmm. However, you can also get really beautiful, clean, organic things that don't have any of that stuff in it. I just don't see the need to put something on the body that the body doesn't recognize.
Absolutely.
Because our body just absorbs it and does something with it, right? Mm-hmm. So your cells aren't going to know what to do with a molecule that's been made in a lab.
Right.
So it has to be put out to trash somewhere. So it moves it into the lymph.
Yeah.
And when your body's also moving all the heavy metals in the lymph and all the chlorine in our water and all the fluoride and all the other stuff that we're breathing in, it's overburdening it. It's too much. So we want to take off as much burden as we possibly can.
I think the other key thing too, you know, talking about what you're sharing is understanding that, you know, there's approximately 84,000 chemicals known to mankind right now. And I mean, there's a whole different conversation about how many have actually been tested. Some people say it's as little as 200. Other people say it's as many as 1,200 chemicals have been tested for safety on humans. But, you know, whether you're in the 200 camp or the 1,200 camp, out of 84,000 chemicals, that's not enough to know if these chemicals are safe for human use long term. You know, back to the retinol conversation, there's research now that's connecting retinol to cancer in rats or mice testing. And so understanding
that, I did not know that. That's a good tip.
And so, you know, it's something to be aware of. And yes, that's still in, and I can't remember if it was mice or rats, but, you know, in animals, right? In
potato, yes.
And understanding like humans are also animals. Like we function in the same way. We don't know for sure that it's that in humans, but that's a big enough red flag for me to not want to use it.
I even do it.
Take the risk, right? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So one other question I had for you is your decision to do the supplement route opposed to a topical treatment. What was your thought behind that?
So really just the root cause piece. Mm-hmm. I of course think it's important that you are getting facials and you have a great skincare regimen at home. But if you really want to get out the root cause, you have to go inside. The skin is the last stop for everything.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to make sure that I really understood the root cause. How can we balance it? And making sure that I just really covered all my bases with this. And I wanted to really help people that are looking for it, for one, mm-hmm. but also hopefully at some point, I want to really educate a bunch of new people that this is how we do it.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Love that. So I do have a couple of quick fire questions for you, but before I get to that, I have two kind of simple questions. One, where can listeners find you, find your products and connect with you online?
Sure. So if anyone wants to purchase the skincare kits, you can go to skinnaturopathics.com. And then if you want to work with me as a practitioner, I also specialize in thyroid and hormone things. You can go to dmdnaturalmedicine.com. And I do tons of virtual medicine. So I work with people everywhere. So no need to be in Colorado.
Awesome. I'll link to everything in the show notes too. And my other question before we get to the quick fire, is there anything that we haven't addressed today that you think is really important for the listener to know related to this topic?
I think you are incredibly thorough. So
thank you.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, that's great.
Perfect. Well, are you ready for the first quick fire question?
Okay. Do I have to answer in a certain amount of time?
No.
Oh,
it's just three quick questions that I ask every guest at the end of the episode. So, okay. You ready? I'm going to set the timer.
Okay.
What is your favorite or most impactful book, podcast, or documentary and why?
Okay, documentary. I really loved Seaspiracy.
I haven't seen that one. No. Take a note.
So touched by it that I actually stopped manufacturing my omega skin supplement from fish, and it's now it's just coconut.
Mm-hmm.
But that one really dealt with, for some reason, I don't know how this started, but we humans seem to think that like fish don't have feelings, like a nervous system and pain, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
They have a spine and they have a nervous system. And yes. So it really made me realize how cruel the industry is. And, you know, I still eat fish once in a while thing, but I just realized we don't need to be over consuming it all the time and shipping it everywhere. And it's full of heavy metals and all this crap that's in the ocean. And it's just like very unhealthy. And then they also kind of drew a parallel between the ocean becoming acidic and what's happening potentially with the climate and with our bodies, and that it really isn't necessarily all from fuel in the air, but it has a lot to do with our ocean. You know, our pH is going to match our oceans because we're a reflection of our environment, and the overfishing of the oceans and the polluting of the oceans is what's causing this. So everyone would just eat a little less stuff from the sea. That would be great. I also love the documentary Vaxxed.
Mm-hmm.
Big tree. And I forgot the other two questions. Oh no,
was the one question. I got two more for you after that though. But that's a great one. I'll have to check out Seaspiracy. I haven't seen that, but I could have a whole nother episode talking about, you know, climate change and the effect on the oceans and how that's affecting us long-term and, you know, understanding that that's a whole ecosystem in its own sense and, you know, killing those animals affects a whole lot of other things. So yeah. With that, this next question totally feeds into that, but what is your best toxin-free or eco-friendly living tip?
Okay, you guys, that's a good question. You have got to purify your water.
Yes.
I don't mean a little Brita filter, okay? A little tiny filter, no. You need to get, this is not expensive, this is an investment. You need to, number one, either have your water tested or find a water filtration company that can look up by your zip code and tell you all the crap that's in your water and then custom send you a filtration system that's good. At the very least, you want like a triple filter system that goes under the sink or above the sink. It maybe not be pretty, but who cares? You have got to filter your water.
Absolutely.
There are so many bad things in there.
Yes. Yeah. That's a whole nother show I could do as well.
Me too.
Yeah. No, I mean, and I think there's so many options out there. I think, you know, I always tell when I do interviews as well, if it's the very least that you can use, buy the Brita filter, but change out the filter as often as it tells you to, if not more often, because it gets filled with all the chemicals that it is filtering, plus the bacteria that's then growing in the filter. So you need to switch those out.
And the whole thing is plastic. I'm like, no.
Yeah, that's the other issue that we get into.
I know it's EPA free, but I still wonder. There has to be other things.
So bisphenol can go from BPA to BPZ.
Okay.
And there's a whole series of bisphenol chemicals. And so they are now referred to as regrettable alternatives. And so you'll see, even though a product will say BPA free, it'll have BPS, BPF, or another one of the bisphenols. So they are not bisphenol free. It is.
I knew something fishy was happening because on the shakers, like for protein shakes, the water is in there for too long. So I'm like, it tastes like plastic.
Tastes funny.
Going on. So I'm just going to get rid of all that I've had. I'm so glad you told me that. Thank you.
Yes. Move to glass or stainless steel. That's the option.
My protein shakes, I need to switch, and I'm doing it today.
Yep. Move to glass or stainless steel. It is absolutely worth it.
You think stainless steel is safe? Question for you.
As long as it comes from a reputable company. If you're ordering a knockoff from other third world countries or you know the big manufacturing countries, you want to be very careful there because often those will be lined with BPA.
Okay.
Canned food is often, or soda cans are often lined with BPA as well, because it prevents the food from
oxidizing.
Going bad. Yeah.
Okay.
And so.
No,
go ahead. Yes.
I was going to ask you, what do you think of those copper water bottles?
Have you seen those? I have, and I have not looked into them, so I can't answer it yet, but I have hesitation about them. So Right now, stainless steel from a reputable company, or I
so much. I love this.
99% of the time, I just go with a glass, actual glass container. Yeah. Okay. So that's usually the best option. So now that I've done the podcast interview, my last question for you today is, what does living consciously mean to you?
Oh, that's a good one. Living consciously. First of all, you guys, number one, we have to love each other.
Yes.
Okay. That is our only purpose here. It's not to make money and not to be mean to each other. We have got to be more conscious of each other, number one.
Absolutely.
But also be conscious of what you are putting out into the environment and what you are putting in your body.
Yes. And
if there is a company or a group of people that you don't like the things that they're putting out and putting in, don't associate with that. Don't support that. Be the change. Be the example. Lead by example, you know? And people, they don't like to learn. You try to tell people all the time to get better. They don't want to listen to you. It's just next.
Yeah. So true. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Diana, this has been phenomenal. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to connect with you. I'm grateful that you've come on and shared so much valuable information for or with the listeners. And I commend you for all the work you're doing. So thank you.
You too. That was great. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Hey, Nika here. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. I truly hope you found value and inspiration. If you have, I'd be incredibly grateful if you took a moment to subscribe to the podcast, share it with a friend who you think might benefit from our discussion, and of course, leave a review. Your feedback not only helps me grow the show and design it to help you grow as much as possible, but it also helps others find our show in the sea of podcasts out there. Do you have a burning question or a topic you're dying to hear about? Please check out the show notes where you can record your request. Your question or guest suggestion might just be the highlight of a future episode. There's one more thing I want to share with you before I let you go today. There's a chance to get a free 30-minute coaching session with me, which could be featured on an upcoming episode. It's a fantastic opportunity for personalized advice and growth. And who knows, our conversation could inspire countless others on their journey too. As you guessed it, link is in the show notes, so please check it out and sign up if you're interested. Once again, thank you so much for listening in and joining me today. Don't forget to act on the things that you've learned today so you can become the person who has the life, the career, and the success of your dreams. I'm wishing you a happy, healthy hustle, my friend, and I'll see you in the next episode.